this email came in. I want to read it because I really don't know the answer to this. But, you know, if this is true, what this person is saying, and anything was said on this program that was incorrect, we certainly want it corrected. So let me share this email with you. It said, on your program Thursday, October the 7th, a brief discussion was held about the song The Anchor Holds. And it was mentioned that the writer of the song was a homosexual. Now, Lawrence is not a homosexual. He has a wife and three grown children and a grandson. So please share this website and information with others on the panel and your music staff. If I remember correctly, Donnie, Josh, and Jim participated in the conversation. And so please mention, well, wait just a moment. Let me finish, guys. Please mention a correction to this wrong information about Lawrence on a program as soon as possible. Now, this was sent to me from the Kindle family, and it said, on the website, be sure to scroll all the way to the bottom of the article, and you will see Lawrence's mention, and thanks to Brother Swaggart for using the song, The Anchor Holds. And this was sent to us by L. Kendall. I don't know.
No, I don't know exactly anything we're talking about. I know, I've always known who wrote The Anchor Holds. Lawrence Chenoweth, retired minister. I've always known it. We've always said that. We've had people calling in here before trying to argue with us over music, and one of the things that they try to say, well, you recorded, your dad recorded the song.
Oh, yes,
written
that's, always the argument.
Ray Bolts did not write The Anchor Holds. Now, Ray Bolts did contribute to things to the song enough that he does have his name on a portion of the copyright. But the song The Anchor Holds came out of a personal experience in the family of Lawrence Chenoweth. It was a personal crisis in his family, health issues for family members, and several other things. And he was at a down point in his life and ministry. But in that, seeking the Lord gave him that song. At that time, Ray Bolts was a well-known gospel singer, and they were friends. And he began to play the song for him in its rough form, Bolts recommended some changes that made the song better, and then went on and recorded the song. That's how the song became known. But here's the thing. Here's the point. I don't know what these people are talking about. I have no idea. Because I have corrected numerous people that have called in here or emails sent in and tried to say that Ray Bolts wrote the song. And I've always corrected it because I don't. And not only that, Dad's received personal correspondence from Brother Chenoweth thanking him for recording the song.
That's exactly
and
right.
How much he appreciates it. But here's the point that I want to bring out. Let's just say, whenever the song was written, and it was Ray Bolts, who's now a practicing homosexual, that doesn't change what he wrote then.
That's right.
That's right.
It doesn't change. If that's the case, we're going to have to rip out half the Bible. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes in a backslidden state.
He did.
He was away from the Lord. Now, even though the scripture doesn't bear it out, there is strong evidence by the last two verses of Ecclesiastes that it showed that in the end, before he died, he made it right. But the point being is, you can go down to the annals of church history, and you can find things, whether they were a song or a book or a commentary. There's been Bible scholars in times past that wrote things that contribute greatly to the work of God, and they lost their way. They lost their way. Many of them got back on track and came back to the Lord. Some of them didn't. But we don't throw away or discount that contribution that person made when they were living right.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what people...
Donna, and what you're saying is so true, and it needs to be said. It doesn't matter. I mean, I have had some of the most vicious emails come into this ministry when Gabriel preached that sermon concerning music on a Sunday morning at our church. And they will stoop to any level to hold on to that music. And hey, if you want to listen to that stuff and play it in your church and jig around and dance to it, have at it. Go to it. You're not hurting us. We give you that permission. We're going to continue to say it's wrong. But ladies and gentlemen, to use something like this to call us hypocrites, even websites are calling us hypocrites, and the hypocrisy of my husband recording this song. Folks, the church is in sad condition today.
Especially.
You know, even if it was true, my heart would go out to the man his family.
Here's what makes it worse. All you got to do is Google writer of Anchor Holds, and the very first thing that comes up is the story behind the Anchor Holds with Brother Chenoweth's name mentioned right there on the top. That's all they got to do. That's all they've got to do. But once again, we go back that there. It doesn't matter if it was Bolts that wrote it then, and it doesn't matter what he's doing now. It does not negate what happened then. We don't approve the lie. He's in sin. If he doesn't make his way back, he's going to hell. That's plain and simple. But you can't take when a person was living for the Lord and whatever contribution they made at that time that was good, that was beneficial, that helped people, and then all of a sudden throw it out. If you're going to do that, then we've got to throw away half the Bible.
Well, we've got to
get rid of most of the Psalms because David wrote some of them. And some of them he wrote in the midst of that horror of his sins that he committed. And so these people, that's a straw man argument. They try to take something to tear you down when they don't even have the
And they're hurting themselves. Another person.
Using
another person
right.
And hurting
them. So I don't know where this email is coming from. Now, there could have been...
Well, this is coming from the family of Lawrence Kendall.
Well, I don't know who Lawrence Kendall is. That's not the guy who wrote the song. I don't have any slightest idea who they are. But he's never heard me one time say that Ray Bolts wrote that song.
Well, I could say this. I knew Ray Bolts in Tulsa. And I know that when he wrote that song, he was not a homosexual.
He did not write the song.
I mean, he didn't write it, but he, like you said, he contributed part of it. Another version is what I always understood.
No, he added, he changed, he helped in some music arrangement and bridge arrangements to make it flow better.
Okay, but the point is that he at one time, when this happened, was following the Lord, and he was not practicing homosexuality. He was under the anointing, and to use that logic is the same thing as saying that if someone prayed for you and ministered to you, and then they stumbled years later to say, oh, okay, so your prayers didn't count. You know, so that's flawed logic, and this man has struggled. And to me, it's almost like hatred toward Ray Bolts. We should be praying for this man instead of condemning him.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know,
that's why Brother Clary, the Bible tells us not to judge.
Exactly.
Because they are judging a person's conduct. They're judging this man personally.
Exactly.
They're judging us personally. We're dealing with doctrinal issues. And believe me, there is a very big difference. But the Bible says do not judge personal conduct criticize people that have sin in their lives. Because you could be caught the same way.
No, well, Mother, homosexuality is doctrinal.
Donnie, yes, it
is.
I'm sorry,
but that is doctrinal.
Yes, and I agree with that. But it's also attacking a person.
Well,
why would you go okay, let me back up and say this. Yes, homosexuality can be considered a doctrinal issue. The Bible forbids it. It's strictly against it. And maybe I did not phrase that right. But I cannot go. I'm not going to go out and condemn somebody. I'm going to try to get them saved.
Yeah.
If they're living a life of homosexuality, I'm going to try to get them saved. The Bible is the one that condemns it. It's not for me to condemn. The Word of God condemns it. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead. You disagree with what I'm saying.
Well,
go ahead and say what you're saying.
You have to judge the lifestyle. It is the most hideous, outside of cold-blooded murder, it is the most hideous sin against God. It's the only sin that God poured out wrath on four cities that destroyed every inhabitant of that city. So, no, Mother, you have to judge that lifestyle. You have to, but you don't judge it in a way where you're damning him to hell every day. You judge
it
in the fact...
I'm not personally judging it.
No, well, you have... It's, okay, we have to disagree to disagree. I love this man. If
exactly.
he walked in the door right now, I would not shun him. I would shake his hand. I would hug his neck.
And that's Christian love.
And I would do everything in my power to bring him back. But at the same time, I have to judge. The lifestyle is so counterconducive to the Word of God. Homosexuality is the greatest insult against God because it's taking a body that God created to function in a specific way, and it's being used in a different way. It is the greatest sinful affront against the sovereignty and the holiness of God and His Word. So I'm going to judge his lifestyle, no ifs, ands, and buts that.
Yes.
But I'm going to judge it in a way just by saying, sir, your lifestyle is contrary to the Word of
That's
God.
Right.
If
Amen.
You continue in the path that you're going to hell. But there is a remedy and there is a way of escape. So their very lifestyle judges them. And for us not to acknowledge that, it's not doing the sinner any service. We make it, the way we help them is let them know, we can never approve of your lifestyle, but we will never denigrate you as a person. We're not going to turn our back and walk away from you if you come into a room. We're not going to do anything. We're going to love you. But we're going to love you enough to tell you that you're wrong and you're in sin.
Okay, following your train of thinking, what does that say about these churches that will not say anything about the issue of homosexuality?
It is a tacit approval. It's a tacit approval.
And they're saying, I get the phone calls and sometimes emails that they will say, they justify this because Jesus never mentioned anything about homosexuality.
Oh.
And so they say, well, because he didn't address it personally, then it's all right. But then I just say, look, you can't separate Jesus Christ from his Word.
Well,
in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he, you know, what you said about Sodom and Gomorrah. But
Jesus did say something about it. It was Jesus that created man. The Jehovah of the Old Covenant is the Christ of the New Covenant.
I agree, but they most people don't know that.
The one that spoke to Satan and said, you bruised my heel, but I'm going to bruise your head, that's the one who hung on the cross
right. And
atoned for our sins.
Absolutely.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right. As the Spirit of God moved upon holy men of old to write. Therefore, every condemnation of that lifestyle, Old Covenant and New Covenant,
yes. Is
inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did not put in the hearts of a single writer anything that the Godhead was not in perfect agreement upon. So it doesn't matter if you don't have a quote from Jesus. We got Jesus in the garden.
That's right.
Well, God formed man.
Exactly.
And God formed woman.
Amen. Well, you know, I think it'd be a good time to bring
this up. And he put them together.
John 5:46-47, Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me, but you do not believe his writings. How will you believe my words? Did not Moses write about homosexuality?
Absolutely. But
it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The argument is, most people want to say, well, it's nothing in the New Testament that condemns homosexuality.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And it's stronger scriptures and stronger statements in the New Testament than it even was in the Old Testament. Nevertheless, saying that, it's sinful. It's a sinful lifestyle. But it's up to us, the church, to preach against sin and to pull the people that are living in this sinful lifestyle out. But it is just as horrible to go and try to use another person's lifestyle against somebody like us that's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to say that we're hypocrites. And it's not true. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know the Word of God, and you don't need to listen to all the trash that's on the Internet.